Well, this past week or so has been full of many news stories. A lot of them are very concerning. We'll talk a little bit about that today, but even something more important than just the news.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to a very special edition, a very special weekend edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Well, today, I want to spend a little bit of the program looking at a few stories. I'm sure you've heard about all of them, but I've got a couple of things that I want to interject for you to think about. And then on the second half of the program, we're going to be changing gears to something that I believe is vastly more important. Over the past week and a half, there have been a lot of really strange news stories out there. You go back a week ago Friday, there was what happened in Russia, where 130 plus people were killed by 11 terrorists, maybe more. 11 at least were captured by Russian authorities as they attempted to cross the border into Ukraine. And of course, the mainstream media has their narrative. Our State Department has a narrative. And then, of course, Russia has theirs. And somewhere between the two, because I don't think either one is fully telling the truth, and I say that based upon experience. There used to be a time in my life that I tended to believe what our government here in the United States would tell us. And now I take most of what the government tells me with a grain of salt and deep concern and a lack of trust, because they've had a lack of candor and often a lack of honesty. It doesn't take a rocket scientist, as the old saying goes, to realize that governments tend to lie to protect their own governmental, not our interest, their interest. Those that support politicians, the deep state as it's called, often major global corporations that are pretty well bought and sold to politicians all over the world. It's not just a problem in the United States. Europe has long ago been captured by the globalist. Canada is just about totally captured by the globalist. Justin Trudeau is nothing but a childish puppet of his global masters. And he has willingly, because he's being well paid and well promised for the future, destroying your freedom and liberty in Canada. There's no doubt about it. The same is happening here in the United States. The deep state, and it really does exist. I mean, I can remember 10, 15 years ago, you'd say something like deep state back in 2010. And you were branded some kind of a weirdo, kook, conspiracy theorist. You know, Rush Limbaugh used to say, you know, keepers of odd knowledge. Yeah, kooks. But it turns out the so-called kooks have been correct. And it's becoming increasingly obvious to more people, except those that, number one, they just don't pay attention. They don't want to pay attention. It's easier not to pay attention. They live in a world of entertainment and Netflix and YouTube, and they get their news from Facebook. I mean, come on. They are so out of touch with reality. They don't understand it. They don't want to understand it. Then you have those that are thoroughly left-wing. Thankfully, it's a minority, but that little minority is controlling a majority of the news and information flow. Extreme leftism, as we see from some networks like MSNBC here in the United States and CNN and the New York Times, and it's a worldwide issue. The globalist, eight major globalist corporations pretty well control 90%+ of what you can see and hear on cable and satellite and online. And you try to find a program like mine, it's deeply buried because I don't have the millions of dollars to put me out front, to put me where I can be found by a larger audience. And even then, if I was hitting a large audience, I would have a big target on me to come after me, to censor me, to deplatform me, to demoralize me. They can lie about me, and there's not much I can do about it. We know that governments are inherently increasingly evil and not really looking after the best interest of our people here in the United States, and I know the same is true in Canada. Do they really care about you when it came to your freedoms? Don't tell me for a moment, and I don't want to dwell on this. We've talked about it enough the past 2 weeks as we remembered 15 days to flatten the curve. Governments knew or should have known, the FDA knew, a lot of people knew that the vaccines, for example, had no proof that they were even effective when they were first given to people. They just assumed because you had antibodies developing, it might work. But they lied and said they're 100% effective when they never were. That's just one minor little tiny example. A lot of the war on terror, why we went into Afghanistan, why we went into Iraq, a lot of these things were convoluted. But so many people, and myself included, back then accepted the narrative because it fit, made us feel better about our nation being strong and good when it was inherently evil and bad. We've allowed technology to become our new master. For example, I saw an article the other day. Google has been ordered by courts to start releasing the identity of people who happen to be watching certain videos or live streams on YouTube. And how Google can be used now, it's like an abused dragnet-style investigation. Doesn't matter. This is a violation of the Fourth Amendment that protects from unreasonable searches, but once again, the intelligence apparatus and the FBI in particular are no longer trustworthy entities. They are vile, increasingly evil entities that are being used for political purposes. There was a video, for example, that talked about AR rifles, which is not assault rifle. That's the name of a company. And of course, they try to make a lie out of that. The video had 30,000 views and a court order. Now this goes way back. Anybody between the dates of January 1st and January 8th, like 2003, must now be unmasked. Their IP addresses, their name, their everything. This is the kind of ridiculous stuff that's increasingly happening here in the United States. Terrorist attack in Russia. Immediately our government said, oh, it's got to be ISIS-K. Well, who is ISIS-K? Who formed ISIS? And I really believe it goes back to the Obama years and the CIA and Victoria Nuland. I think this is one of our own CIA creations. They came out of Afghanistan. They got into Ukraine, from Ukraine into Russia. Doesn't that make you a little suspicious that they spent all this time training in Ukraine and in Turkey? But nobody seems to want to ask any questions. At least the journalist here, the phony journalist at NBC, ABC, CBS, they never ask questions. I'm looking at the story that came out earlier this week about what happened with a shipping container vessel that hit the bridge in Baltimore. I have far more questions than answers. And there's just too much about this story, and I'm going to be talking about it on the Monday edition of Truth to Ponder. I'm not going to have all the answers. And I'm not going to just jump into every conspiracy theory, but I'm not going to accept what we're being told, because I'm looking at too many things that are coming together that cannot be a coincidence. And we'll share that on the Monday program. And then for those that thought that RFK Jr., was going to be a great alternative, for those that are not sure about, Donald Trump, well, there's no doubt in my mind that RFK Jr., though he is right about the vaccine, is just another leftist Trojan horse. Nicole Shanahan his vice presidential choice, ex-wife of the founder of Google, a multi-millionaire, really deep into the climate change and all the things that have to do with transgenderism and the weirdness of this world. She's all for it. Climate change. Yeah. 38-year-old, as she has nothing to bring to the table except being an earth-saving, extreme leftist, environmental wing of the Democrat Party, and has given money to the Soros-funded district attorneys that are taking down the United States from the inside out. So we need to understand that that's not even an option anymore. But once again, we don't know how the election will play out. I don't think it'll be an honest election. The steal attempt will still be there. I want to take the break early, but I want to tell you that there is hope in spite of all the things I just shared. And we'll talk about that on the other side. I want to remind you that Truth to Ponder is a listener-supported radio ministry. Now, my time is free, but the airtime is not. And that's what we use the income to cover, keeping us on the radio. We don't have any advertisers. There is no paywall, and we do not sell merchandise. In other words, we're not selling you food, generators, or anything else. We depend 100% on you, and we're probably a very financially efficient ministry. Once again, I'm not paid. But if you would consider helping, would you today go to the website, truth2ponder.com. There's a tab for Give, Send, Go, a way to support this radio ministry online. Or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. The city is Chilhowee, 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 Virginia. And the zip code in Chilhowee is 24319. That's 24319. Once again, visit the website truth2ponder.com. Look for the support tab or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia 24319.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
The Tzemach coming up. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. The word today is Tzemach, Hebrew, try it, Tzemach. Well, it's in Zechariah 6:12, and it says, "Behold, the man whose name is Tzemach, or the branch." It says, "He will branch out where he is, he'll build the temple of the Lord." Well, the word Tzemach means the shoot, or the branch, or the sprout, or the bud. It means that which shoots up, sprouts again, or springs forth. Messiah's name is Tzemach, the shooting forth, the blossoming, the sprouting forth again. It's a beautiful word, because it means he's going to rise up. As from rising up from the earth. In fact, the prophecy can be read, he will spring forth from the depths. So Messiah rose up from the depths of the earth. The resurrection, the shooting forth, the Tzemach. And when this prophecy was translated into Greek, the rabbis chose the word Anatole to stand for Tzemach. So the man whose name is Anatole, it means the sunrise or the day spring. It's in the New Testament, the morning star. That's the same word, the Tzemach, the sprouting, the morning star. What a beautiful name of Messiah and for you to cling to. See, it means no matter how down you are, what you're in, whatever you're in, whatever situation, you get the power. If you live your life in the Tzemach, you have the power to rise, to blossom, to dawn, to break forth, to spring forth. You're in the depths, you got the power to rise up from the depths. So he has risen, he has dawned, you too will rise as you live in him. So rise and shine, my friend. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you in the Tzemach, you are rising. Now, here to offer you something real special. Have your pen ready. Sapphires. It's as precious as it sounds. It'll bless you with a life of victory and also the incredible mystery of the temple doors. You'll love it. How do you get these gifts all free? easy. Just remember Jesus' real Hebrew name, Yeshua, and you dial it. That's it. Just dial 1-800-YESHUA-1. You will be blessed, but call now. That's 1-800-YESHUA-1. And I invite you to join me in spreading life, eternal life, to the world. You can blanket the earth. I'm telling you, the absolute farthest way you can ever spread the gospel through shortwave radio. Beam it around the world. We do it every week. You can too. Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's YESHUA-1. Or you can write me direct. Here's how. Just write to the Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. That's the Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. Well, till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, Shalom Aleichem, rise, shine, your light has come in Messiah, Or Ha'olam, the light of the world, the Tzemach, your rising.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to this very special weekend edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. As a general rule, the weekend edition is not just a bunch of news stories. I try to give you a message of hope and encouragement to help get you through these difficult times. I can share all the news stories about all the evil in our world today, news events that truly do impact our lives. But any newscaster can do that. A lot of conservative newscasters do a far better job than I can in bringing you the news. I try to bring you some stories, but insight to those stories. Not just the story, but how this is going to impact you, particularly people of faith. And I believe we need more of that going forward. Over the next week or so, there's going to be some changes in how I do the program Truth to Ponder. And Jim Calhoun is going to be starting to help me a little bit more in doing segments. Instead of doing the Wednesday program, we're going to change it a little bit. Not next week, but the week after in particular. We're going to be having segments. And I hope to add one or two other people so I can focus my time instead of investigating and trying to find news stories. I really need to find hope in those news stories, because if you are in Christ, you do have hope. If you go back 2,000 years ago, we commemorated during Holy Week all the events that occurred, starting on Palm Sunday to the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ on the first day of the week. And I shared a message with my congregation at Trinity Chapel in Seven Mile Ford, Virginia, little church that I'm currently being the pastor. We started this church not even a year ago. And I try to share the messages from that church with you, my audience, to give you some hope. I don't do it to give you fear. I give you these messages to give you actual hope. And for a Christian, Jesus' death and his resurrection are the greatest news we can have, because as St. Paul says, we now have hope. And without the resurrection, we are a hopeless people. Sure, I can talk about the events of the past week or so and how they'll impact our lives going forward. But I think that 1 week, 2,000 years ago, will have a greater impact on this world than any other week in human history. And you need to embrace that. Don't put your hope in some election here in the United States or Canada or the United Kingdom or Australia, anywhere. I don't trust the politicians, and even many that claim to be followers of Christ, claim to be conservatives, they're just playing on your emotions. We've seen that play out time and time again. And so, as the psalmist David said, do not put your hope in princes or the sons of men. In other words, people, politicians. Put your hope in God. Now, I'll say this again because I have been misunderstood, and I was lambasted one time by a listener. I'm not saying don't vote. I mean, I will vote, and my my vote is based upon a couple of things. How is this candidate going to impact my faith, my family, my finances, and my freedom? The four F's: faith, family, finances, freedom. And the one that causes the least damage is the one that will most likely get my support. Obviously, there are a couple of candidates here in the United States running for the president that endanger all three, and to a huge extent, some much less. But I want to take you inside the sanctuary now, and I want you to hear this message as I outline how the world was changed in just 1 week. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather at this time around your word, I pray, as I always do, to open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to receive that which you have for us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. The road to the cross is the name of the message. I found that little video actually after I had thought about what I wanted to do this Sunday, and I thought, what a fitting way to open up the message with that short little video to remind us of what this week was all about in a very capsulated form. Now, in many traditional churches over the centuries, on this Sunday, a lot of churches read what is called the Passion Gospel. The entire, from betrayal, through the trial, through the crucifixion, and all that went with it. And in some churches, you'll have four or five people being the readers playing the various parts, with the congregation yelling, "Crucify him," when you see that in the scripture. When Pilate says, "Who would you want, Barabbas or Jesus?" And they all yell, "Barabbas." Today I decided to do something just a little bit different. This church tends sometimes to be a little bit different in our approach. I want people to have the fullness and the understanding of the message that is contained in God's word. I want to make, how do I put it? I want to make God's word real to you in such a way that you understand it and your eyes are open, as I've said before. Your ears are hearing what the Holy Spirit has to say, and it changes and transforms your life. I know as a child, I'm going to borrow your palm right there. I can remember as a child what it was like on Palm Sunday, being able to wave these in the church. I was like young like these back here when I had my first palms. And then we even learned how to make crosses. I can't do this. Only a crafter could do this correctly. You know, tie them up and make a little cross out of them. In some churches, they save these till the next year and they burn them for Ash Wednesday. That's where you get the ashes from. That's what the tradition was anyway. Palm Sunday, what has always stood out to me about this day, and we're going to kind of walk a little bit through this week and stop and pause on a few things we don't normally spend a lot of time on, but I think if we do, it's going to make more sense to you what occurred that week. Jesus has been working his way with his disciples toward Jerusalem, and there was a reason he wanted to be there by a certain date. We're going to get into that in just a moment. Rather important. It wasn't just any week that Jesus arrived. It wasn't just any first day of the week, or a Sunday as we call it today, that Jesus showed up with his disciples. And Jesus chooses to ride into Jerusalem on a lowly little donkey. And even that account is rather fascinating. Tells his disciples, "Go into the town up against you, up away, just down the road," as we'd say in this part. "Go down the road a piece, you're going to see a donkey. And go get it. And if anybody asks, just say the master has need of it, and there'll be no problem." And that's exactly what happened. So they bring some stranger's donkey in, and Jesus gets on it, And he rides into Jerusalem, a gated city. And they see him approaching, and like royalty, and that's what they did for royalty, they would strip down palms and lay down clothing for royalty. They didn't do that for the Fuller Brush Man. They didn't do it for the Good Humor Truck or anything like that. They did it for only royalty, people of importance. And Jesus to them, with his reputation, had become important, noteworthy, a celebrity. This would be like having a celebrity arrive and you want to make a big deal about it. And they did. Now, you'll notice in the gospel reading that I chose to use, I wanted to drop back literally a little bit before some of the major events occurred. One of these little events that we don't talk about much that also occurred during this week. Jesus arrives, and then he's going to the temple where he's speaking, preaching, sharing. You know, it was during this Holy Week, we forget about this. If you've heard about when Jesus went into the temple to throw out the money changers, that was the same week. He did it that week. He did a lot of things that week that we know of and we talk about, we preach about, we share the stories. All these were compressed in this one week, and actually in fewer days than you would begin to even understand. A lot happened. And the question I had as a child, and many of you may have had growing, if you grew up in the faith, man, how could they turn on him so quickly in just a matter of days? What did he do? He didn't do what the people wanted him to do. That's what he did. He wasn't their mystical genie giving them their every wish. He wasn't there to throw out the occupying Roman soldiers and the prelates and all those that ran that part of the region that the Romans called Palestine. They refused to call it Israel or Judea. No, it was their conquested territory. And so they're seeing Jesus comes and he's insulting the way we do things in the temple. He's making a mockery of the things that we believe. And he's not here to free us from the Romans and restore our ancient glory. How quickly they turned. Jesus in the temple. Jesus getting the powers that be quietly and rapidly more and more angry with him. We got to get rid of this guy. This guy's going to get rid of our authority. And the account that is given in the scripture, like I say, this, I'm going to share this. And this is, I'm not dogmatic about that, about this, if you know what I mean by dogmatic. When I was studying for the ministry, there are a lot of theologians that try to get a better understanding and handle on what really happened in this span of time. And they try to put it in light of scripture. And sometimes our traditions that we somehow developed can get into the way of really maybe seeing some of the nuances. Because we're so busy starting on Palm Sunday and then jumping into Thursday and not realizing what had happened earlier that week. First problem is, in the time of Christ, when did a new day begin? Midnight? Dawn? No, sundown. In other words, and you see this occasionally in the scripture, where they couldn't travel until the sun went down on Saturday night. When the sun went down Friday, you're in, you're done. And you had the daytime on Friday as a day of preparation for the Sabbath. And they kept the Sabbath. It was a law. Of course, Jesus got the Pharisees of the day angry at him when he healed somebody on the Sabbath. Well, you're violating the Sabbath law. Forgetting that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. So as these scholars have kind of reasoned, and like I say, I'm not dogmatic about this, but if you kind of look at it the way it may have occurred, a little differently than the way we think, it actually makes more sense. Jesus arrives on a Sunday morning, daytime. Remember, the Sabbath had ended, and now they're sleeping, they're getting things ready, the donkey, all of that is now occurring. And then he rides into Jerusalem. Now, what a lot of people do not understand, this week in Jerusalem was a big deal. It wasn't just the Passover. There were other feasts and festivals that, only because of a fluke of how the calendar and the moon cycles and everything worked, a bunch of things collided in the same week. It wasn't just the Passover. There was a lot more going on. That's why there were so many people in Jerusalem. They wouldn't have been there otherwise. But this was going to be a big deal. This is a holy week at that time for the Jews. Not just Passover, which often was just celebrated in people's homes. They didn't go to the temple for Passover. That was a home event. But there were other events that week. Notice, it even says in the scripture, there for the festival, there for this, there for that, and the Passover. So people were having to scramble to find a place to conduct the Passover if they came from another town nearby, maybe coming in from Bethlehem, you know, 20, 30 minutes down the road, or whatever the case may be, those that came and stayed, it was a big deal to get prepared. And Jesus is going to the temple. He's getting his disciples to make preparations, and they end up in the upper room. And remember, days begin at sundown. When you get to the Passover, it starts at sundown. Now, Jesus, a little bit later in the dissertation that I read from Mark and other books of Scripture, points out some very important things. The sign of Jonah. Now, you're hearing a lot of people talk about the sign of Jonah. We got an eclipse and all this. But what is the real sign of Jonah according to Scripture? The Son of Man will be in the ground like Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. Didn't say 2 days and two nights or 1 day. You know, it's 3 days, three nights. And Jesus reminds his disciples of that. Now, we've gotten kind of caught into the Good Friday idea because we keep hearing that when Jesus was taken off the cross, they had to get him in the ground because the Sabbath is here. But you forget one thing, and in the King James Bible, it uses, it was an high Sabbath. By the way, anytime there's a feast and festival in the old, you know, in the Jewish culture, it is a Sabbath. If it is a feast and festival, it is called a high Sabbath. Even if it doesn't occur on a Saturday, it's still a Sabbath. And what scholars are saying, wait a minute. Jesus comes to town when you've got this feast, Passover, the other one, Purim, possibly there's several they think it could have been, just trying to figure out the calendar. And then you got the regular Sabbath. God's perfect timing. God's perfect timing. Like I say, I'm not dogmatic to say we must believe this. I'm just saying it makes a little bit of sense. So really, as the sun went down on Tuesday becoming Wednesday, that was the Passover at sundown. Jesus celebrated the Passover with his disciples. He gives us Holy Communion, as we call it, or the Lord's Supper, whatever name you want to give it. And he tells his disciples, I will not drink of this cup again until I drink it in God's kingdom again with you, you know, with you then. This is it. They didn't understand what he meant. Then Jesus knows who his betrayer is. He knows what's about to happen. And he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. This is still on Passover. I mentioned at Christmas time, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the place where they raised and birthed the lambs for the sacrifice at the temple. That's where Jesus was born. Where the lambs are born for the temple. Jesus becomes the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He then is showing us on that Passover night that I am the Passover. I am the Passover. He is then betrayed, taken before the Jewish authorities, taken before the Roman authorities. And we know how the day plays out. Before the end of Passover, Passover as a celebration is sundown to the next sundown. Before the end of that Passover, Jesus has been sacrificed and shed his blood as the Lamb of God. He is the Passover. And then he's put in the ground because it was an high Sabbath. And boy, it was worse than a regular Sabbath. They really were going to be locking themselves down for that duration. And then when that next period ended, a night and a day, now it's a day of preparation for the regular Sabbath. Can't do anything then. Besides, you got the Roman guards sitting out there at the tomb. Nobody wants to go near that place. I bet you would probably think back then, because of the word that was out on the street, anybody approaches that tomb, just kill them. They didn't care. They're Roman guards. They didn't care. They're really Germans from, you know, the guards that the Romans had. These were not Italian guys. These were mean Germans who followed orders. They were hiring an army of Huns. And they weren't going to put up with nothing. Because, see, their job when Jesus was laid in the tomb was to make sure for the next 3 days and three nights nobody comes near that place. If you fail, you will die. That's the order of the day. That's how it worked in the Roman army. If those soldiers failed, they knew they would be subject to death. They'd be put on a cross themselves. So now we hit the Sabbath is now... The new Sabbath has come, and the sun goes down. Jesus has been in the ground a night and a day, a night and a day, a night. So he's been in there three. And as the sun goes down again, many scholars think that, you know, this is why I'm not big on sunrise services. Jesus was already gone. As the sun went down, and the first day of the week began, Jesus is alive. And while these Huns are sitting outside, well, it's almost 3 days. Tomorrow we get to get out of here. They never came to get the body. We'll just hang in there. No, we'll hang in the night to be sure. Camping out, getting ready to tell a few stories, maybe opening up a little vino or something around the fire, knowing, well, if they're not going to be here now, they're not coming. We'll just make sure they don't steal it tonight. Then we can go back into town and say, nope, the body's still in the tomb. Can you imagine? What they don't know is Jesus is probably alive in that tomb, folding up his linens, preparing to have the stone rolled away. And I have this envisionment that it's now dark. Jesus has been alive. He's preparing his entrance again. Remember that song by Patty? Doesn't matter. We shall behold him. And these poor Huns, that's what they were. The stone rolls away, and you can imagine the Shekinah glory of the risen Christ as he steps out of that tomb. Hi, guys. And they fled. The next morning, you notice the next morning, at sunrise, when the women show up, everybody's gone. The guards are gone. They would have still been there. They would have been, no, they've already fled for their lives. And everybody's asleep, and then they get in there. Where's Jesus? Where have you taken my master? We'll talk about that a little bit next week. God's timing, and this is what I kind of tend to lean toward, what these scholars believe, that maybe we have the dating a little wrong, and only God could have orchestrated the first day of the week, a day of preparation for the Passover, then a high Sabbath, and then a day of preparation, and then a Sabbath. to ensure that nobody, but nobody, but nobody could tamper with that tomb, to prove that his son had died and was resurrected, not stolen. Now, does that mean I'll not celebrate a Maundy Thursday or a Good Friday? No. I mean, in that regard, I'm celebrating and remembering the events that led to Jesus' death, his giving of communion, his death upon the cross. Of course, it doesn't matter. We, you know, to me, the dates don't matter. It's kind of nice to look at it that way and say, boy, this story is even greater than I really understood. There really could have been 3 days and three nights. And how often do you have, and I've talked to people years ago that have mentioned this. I said, how often would you have something like three big events occurring in 1 week? Oh, once every several thousand years? The timing of Jesus' birth to bring him to that point that day. Had he been born 100 years before, you never would have had that kind of week. 100 years later. 1,000 years later, you're not going to have it. You had it where you can, it really is that hard to get bing, bing, bing like that. And with that kind of a huge festival, that's why everybody was in town. You look at the little thing I put up for today's message. Palm Sunday, he arrives. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Then he spends that Passover night and becomes the Lamb of God to shed and give of his body and blood for us on the cross. He is scourged, he is beaten, he is spit upon. One of the most somber songs that came out maybe in the 80s, maybe the 90s, yeah, I think it was the 80s. The Via Dolorosa, the way of sorrows is what it means translated. Jesus condemned to death. He is beaten, spit upon, mocked, crown of thorns, had to carry his own cross. We forget that. And this one poor guy that happened to be there, the Roman soldiers said, hey, help him carry his cross. And so Jesus is being mocked by the same people that only a matter of a few days before were coming, blessed is you that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. Oh no. Kill him. We don't like him anymore. We don't need him. We don't want him. We're looking for something else. How many times do people that claim to be followers of Christ say, I'm looking for something else? This is not what I'm looking for. But Jesus said, if you're following me, take up your... He actually uses the term, his disciples figured it out later, take up your cross and follow me. What do you mean, cross? Jesus said a lot of things they didn't quite understand at the time, but it came to pass later. Yeah, I get what he meant now. Even the Bible says in the reading that we had, they didn't understand what he said at the time, but boy, after he was glorified, after he was resurrected, when he was ascended and the Holy Spirit came, boy, we get it now. Hindsight is 20/20. Wow. I remember... I was a high school student. I've been raised in a very Christian home, been involved with choirs, been involved with a Christian education from kindergarten through the eighth grade. Would have been all the way through the 12th in college had we not moved. But there was one night, and God has a way of slowing you down to catch your attention. I was doing something rather stupid. I've never shared this story in a sermon before today. It was probably April, around Easter time or just after, maybe Easter vacation. It was 1 year we didn't go down to Long Island to see my grandparents. We got back early. And, you know, a bunch of us are just kind of hanging around. And we lived on a little bit of a hill, not much of one. And there's some, trying to remember what it was, like round lumber like you'd use for doing landscaping. And one of the kids got on and he started like to log roll, you know, like a log roller would do. And they're doing pretty good, you know, they're kind of, you know, going down the driveway. And I figure, why not? I'll try it. I don't have very good balance. Never have. I never was good at skating, never even tried. Forget skiing. This is not what I do. And so, yeah, so I get on there, and I'm doing fine. I'm rolling it down a little bit, and I'm just having a great time. And then it gets too fast, and I go flying up, came down, and I broke my arm up here. So they didn't have to put a cast on it because of where the break was. They just tied the arm here for the next, you know, 4 weeks or something. I had to, because it wasn't a, it was a fracture, not a big break, and that would heal. And it would hurt at night. Some nights it was hard, you know, the first couple of weeks. Ever heard of what's called a pillow speaker? If you're old enough to plug into your transistor radio, you put it under your pillow and you lay on it. Nobody can hear it but you. And so I had a little AM FM radio, and I had a little plug that I put into sometimes, and I still go to sleep with music. And for whatever reason, the radio station ended up on a different radio station. And I was just too, didn't want to turn or move because it was hurting a lot. And it was a Christian radio station. I'd never heard of a Christian radio station before. And the music was rather, shall we say, stoic. You know what I mean by stoic? And there was this tenor voice singing this song, and it just haunted me. Have you had a Gethsemane? Have you learned how to pray? Now, this was not exactly my kind of music, but the words were talking to me. Have you ever? And it dawned on me, yeah, we just had gone through Easter and all this, and I'm thinking, yeah, the garden. You know, we don't really understand the agony. Jesus praying in the garden, Father, if this cup can pass from me, would you take it away? Knowing it won't. Sometimes we pray for things knowing that God's not going to change it, but he can empower us to go through it. I've learned that. There are times that I just want to give up. Believe me. The road to the cross had a rest stop. And it's a rest stop you and I need to sometimes stop and take. The garden. The Garden of Gethsemane. How many times we get caught up in our life and we're trying to figure this out, that out, and we don't stop and pray. We don't give it to God. We're so busy in our own mindset of how we think we need to do something, and we keep struggling along. And the words of that song, have you had a Gethsemane? Have you learned how to pray? And I realized then as a teenager, I'd learned how to recite prayers. I'd learned how to do what a friend of mine years ago, a Baptist preacher, turned something else later in life, once said, yep, the just prayer. Many churches have the just prayer. Ever heard of a just prayer? Lord, we just thank you today. We just need this. We just need that. We just want to do this. We just know how to bounce the words out. But are they coming from the heart? Are they coming from the deepest part of who we are? Or is it just something that we have learned to say? Now I lay me down to sleep. I left my hot rod in the street. If it should roll before I wake, I pray to your Lord, put on the brake. I mean, this is, we get into this kind of a rote with some of our prayers that we don't even think about some of the things we say. Now, you know, then we also have God is good, God is great, so we thank him for this food. And I'm guilty of it at times too, that, yeah, we pray and my mind and my heart are not even there, but I'm just doing the words, going through the motions. We need that Gethsemane experience. See, in order for us to understand the crucifixion experience, and why, we have to have a Gethsemane experience. For us to walk with Christ to the cross, we must stop at Gethsemane. If Jesus needed to spend an hour in prayer, and remember what he said to his disciples, could not even one of you stay with me for 1 hour? Was I asking too much? 1 hour, you couldn't do it. And Peter, who had given so much and expected much and still gave much, denied him 3 times that night. Three, not one, three. And as Jesus was taken away, the disciples scattered into the shadows. And even as he died, and as they saw darkness in midday, the temple veil rent in two, the earthquake, all of it, they still had fear and they hid. The disciples didn't stop for a Gethsemane experience. They needed it. I really believe that you and I, all of us in this church today, all of those that are listening to what I'm saying today, we need to go to Gethsemane. We'll never appreciate Easter until we have been to Gethsemane. We'll never understand the cross until we have been in that fellowship like Jesus had to be with his own Father, until we get there ourselves. The Bible says, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Jesus asked it of his disciples, and he asked of it of us today. How many times have we gone through something and we didn't stop to pray? And instead of finding resolution, it just kept festering and going. How many times have the mistakes that we made in life come to haunt us? How many times has the tempter, or as Martin Luther says, the foe? For the foe, well we know, oft his harvest reapeth while the Christian sleepeth. Rise, my soul, to watch and pray. I think, and like I say, I'm as guilty of it as anybody in this room. Sometimes we don't pray enough. Sometimes we're not in fellowship, and then we wonder why things are not going the way that they should. Whatever you are going through today, whatever is troubling you, whatever is impacting you, whatever is just holding you back, I pray that God will lead you to Gethsemane.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Go to dark Gethsemane, ye that feel the tempter's power. Your Redeemer's conflict see, watch with him one bitter hour. Turn not from his griefs away, learn of Jesus Christ to pray. Follow to the judgment hall, view the Lord of life arraigned. Oh, the wormwood and the gall, the pangs his soul sustain. Shun not suffering, shame, or loss. Learn of him to bear the cross. Calvary's mournful mountain climb, there at his feet. Mark that miracle of time, God's own sacrifice complete. It is finished, hear the cry, learn of Jesus Christ to die. Early hasten to the tomb where they laid his breathless clay. All is solitude and gloom. Who hath taken him away? Christ is risen, he meets our eyes. Savior, teach us so to
Well, our time is just about up for this weekend edition, this very special weekend edition of Truth to Ponder. And I hope the thoughts at the beginning of the program today, the message you just heard, taking you through that week that changed the world, meant something to you. And maybe there's a need in your prayer life. Maybe you need more encouragement. I know the news can be depressing at times. I have to turn it off. Yet, part of what I do to help you and serve you and do this program requires an intense amount of time each week in reading and studying, writing and preparing this program. I'm going to tell you, it's not easy. And we need really to spend a little less time in the news and more time in the good news of God's Word. That's why there are going to be some changes as we get into April with this program. We'll still do the news. We still will give you the information. We'll still try to, even to a degree, make it entertaining. But there's going to be additional substance. There has got to be hope. You don't find hope in the stuff you buy. You don't find hope in being, quote, prepared. You find your hope by having peace in Jesus Christ. It starts there. Everything else comes after. Politicians, even conservative and supposedly Christian politicians, will let you down. We've seen it over and over again. And I can do news story after news story on this program, but until we're not going to change the overall direction of this world. As I've said before, we're not here to change the world. We're here to change people. We're here to be that instrument of God's change on people, to be sharers of the good news. We need to bring people into Christ's kingdom and less into politics. And so there's going to be this change of direction as we get into April. And right now, I need your support more than ever before. Remember, there's no paywall, there's no advertising, there's no merchandise for sale. We depend 100% on you. You can use the website, the address you'll get in just a moment. There's a tab for support using Give, Send, Go, or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, zip code 24319. Or you can give online at our website, truth2ponder.com. Until next week, may God richly bless you.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.